This is Thought Crime. I am your host, Wesley Fox, editor of PrescientSciFi.com, and as promised, episode 40 is about the season 7 premiere of The Walking Dead, and if you watched it, and also right away, spoilers, we are going to talk about the episode, so if you have not seen the season premiere, stop right now, go watch it. And I'm going to give like 3 or 4 or 5 seconds right here. So yes, spoilers, Walking Dead, spoilers. Do not listen to this if you have not seen the premiere. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Let's just get into it. John, first of all, what's up, man? How you doing? And your thoughts on the season premiere?
It was extremely depressing, but I think all in all, it was good. Oh, by the way, I'm doing fine. I'm just sitting here drinking a little wine, trying to, you know, put the pieces back together after watching that horrific episode. But I'm going to give overall a lot better and more excited about the new season than I was at the end of the last.
Yes. And what about, like, I mean, we talked about who we thought it might be, who he killed, and of course we got a very, very big surprise in that Negan killed two of them. Were you surprised at who he chose?
Well, from a writer's standpoint, I'm surprised, but from a, let's say a logical standpoint, I think it was pretty good. You know, he took out, you know, two of the males, two of the stronger ones. You know, he took out more than one person, because they took out a lot of his people, you know, so only killing one, I thought, like I mentioned when we were talking about the last season finale, like, oh, whatever, he's only going to kill one of them. Like, they killed like dozens of his people and stuff. Like, he should, you know, take out a bunch of them. So the fact that he killed more than one, I think, was a really good delivery of something that's realistic in that situation, especially if Negan is going to be this really scary new, like, enemy that they've actually built him up to be. Because, you know, his speech or whatever, like, it was long and it was kind of cool. But, like, I mean, I wasn't buying how scary he was. And they did a really good job in this episode in really, like, solidifying, you know, him being a different type of person to mess with. Which was, you know, another thing that I wasn't really that impressed with last season, and I didn't really think that. So I feel like this episode, as depressing and sad as it was, and you know, in other ways, maybe editing choices and stuff was a little bit odd. I would say, as far as like the way it moves the plot forward and it fits in, I think I'm impressed with. I'm ready. I'm sucked back in.
And well, I remember we talked about how the show has not killed off any season one or season two characters. Well, they did. Glenn was the first early season character that they've killed off in a long time. Most of the other character deaths have been people that we got introduced to in seasons 3, 4, and 5, or maybe 6. A lot of the Alexandria people were all basically killed off in the last season, you know, and we really didn't see any of our own people, you know, the core people go down. Very different this time. Glenn, who was resurrected in last season, he gets, so they, it's, I know a lot of people are fans of Glenn. I'm a fan of Glenn. I'd like to think that if there was a zombie apocalypse, I would be Glenn. But I think I agree with you entirely. He cannot just, they lost, by my count, Rick and his people killed over 20 of his. So to just kill one of them, and then of course Daryl freaking out and punching him. I mean, same thing. You just cannot, you know, warlords can't let that go. So I think you're absolutely right. I did think it was a female. I was wrong on that. I think tactically, I agree with you as well. Tactically, you have to, he was probably going to kill one of the big guys. One of the people he figured was one of the fighters. You know, Abe was an obvious choice there. And I think Glenn, he probably got the impression that Glenn was a his right-hand man. And then he took Daryl. So basically, he took out three of his fighters.
Yeah, and I mean, I still think immediately, you know, me and my girlfriend watching this, we see the scene where he says, I'm going to kill you, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. And we just looked at each other. It's like, just kill him right there. He's your second person to kill.
Yeah.
You know? it solidifies with anything. If anything, he's the one that's kept him this strong. He's the one person you probably could kill to try and control everyone. I mean, Daryl and Glenn and everyone else are very strong individuals. They're not just held together by Rick. But from a tactical standpoint, not knowing the group dynamic and just what you could read, I mean, Rick seemed like the logical one to go. But I know from a writer's standpoint, they weren't going to do that. So I already knew it wasn't going to be Rick, even though in my mind that made the most sense. So I think they made a good compromise with not, you know, with not losing too much realism, with also out without destroying the show. And as much as I really hate to see Glenn go, because, you know, you're right, I'd like to think that I'm him. You know, I wasn't like a crazy violent person or, you know, a tough guy in the real world, but through my cunning and perseverance, I'm able to, you know, become the badass.
Exactly. It does, I mean, I guess my reaction to the episode as a whole is that, I mean, I basically lost all feeling about 30 minutes in, and it just kept going and going and going, and then we get to the end of the episode, and he's telling him he's got to cut off his own son's hand, like, arm, and I'm thinking that, okay, so this is just going to be an hour of Negan being, like, a psychopath. He was already a psychopath giving a long speech in the last episode. So I understand they're trying to build Negan up and they got a high profile actor to play him. And he definitely sold the psychopathic, but calculated. I mean, he's a high functioning psychopath.
High functioning psychopath. That's good. But I did actually kind of start to like Negan as a character on screen. I didn't really like his long speech before. He kind of annoyed me. But there was a part, like, a little bit over halfway through the episode. I don't remember what it was. Maybe towards the end he said something funny. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to like him as a bad guy, actually. I didn't think I would. I kind of thought he was going to be annoying. But, like, he was just the right amount of funny or sadistic or something. Where it's like, you know what? This will be a good foe. I'm actually back on board. And if you remember, at the end of the last season, as much as I'll always maintain I'll love and watch the show, there was still a lot of skepticism that I was approaching this season with, that even can't say enough of how freaking depressing it was. I mean,
it is
part of me was all like, do I even want to keep watching the show? And I had to sit there and think about it for a while, and then where it left off too, like, it left off at a good point, but there was a point in the middle of the episode where, like, I don't even know why I watch this. Why would I do this to myself? They're all gonna die anyway.
That's really where I was, like, the brutality. I mean, watching, you know, they've literally just showed every second of him bashing their heads in and showing, you know, Glenn's, you know, eye popping. I mean, it was all,
that was intense, man. It really was. Even though they showed us so many different types of gore and everything, I think it was like a mixture of, like, the intense gore and how much, like, emotion you had for Glenn. A lot of the other characters, maybe they died, like, you know, really gory deaths or whatever, but that one was just kind of long, and it was just, like, all emotional, too, because there's the shock value with the other ones where it's just really gory, and but it's also sad, but this one was a good mixture of that and just the insane, like, emotion built with it. Like, wow, it's hard to say in the show that's done so much and so many intense things that you just don't become numb to it, and they really spent some time in the writer's room thinking about how to exactly, like, make us all feel again.
I think that what they had to balance for sure was, in order to sell us that he would let Rick live and let any of them live, is he can't, if they in any way show that they're still a threat, he can't let it happen. So he had to break Rick, and the question is, well, how does he do it? Killing one person, not that really won't do it.
They've all been the apocalypse for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, that's not enough. And also, if he happens to pick a person that maybe was expendable, I mean, we'd figure he'd pick the big guy. But honestly, I mean, if Carol were there and he kills Abe, it'd be like, you know, Daryl and Carol are still alive. So we're still good. I mean, it's kind of like he couldn't really be sure who Rick's number two or who the other most dangerous people in that group were. He just guessed that he picked the biggest guy in the lot, which is kind of what an idiot would do. Just, I'll just pick the big guy, you know, and think he's the best fighter. And Abe, really, as good as he's shown himself to be, he's not really the most effective fighter. So but at the same time, he had to kill, but he wasn't planning to kill a second person. He did it in reaction to Daryl. But I think what really had to break Rick was the driving around, and then also where he threatened, he has to try and cut off his son's arm. So all of that had to be done in order to sell us on Negan actually trying to break them. It had to be done. It just, for 30 minutes straight, I mean, I think it pushed a lot of people to the limit. It pushed me to the limit of why, like you, like, why should I bother watching more of this if this is just going to be a whole season of them grieving? Like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, are they just going to continue to play on the PTSD and the grieving for 5 or 6 episodes? If they do that, they're just going to start bleeding. They're going to start bleeding viewers, and I'm afraid of that. And that's one of the things I was worried about as this show progresses. Like, how much mileage can they get off that? The way they need to go, and I hope they go, is with this new character that has the pet tiger in the previews, with Carol and Morgan, and with some sort of bigger world to challenge Negan. That is the only way, because I don't want to watch like 3 or 4 more episodes of them grieving Glenn and Abe. Like, that's just more misery. I can't. It has to be just one. If it's any more than that, I think I'm just going to start crying and stop watching the show. That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's God, I don't know exactly how to respond to that. I mean, I definitely agree with a lot of it, and I mean, I'm always afraid of it losing viewers towards the end, because they're going to want to, you know, have as much of the show as possible and then kind of end it when they have to. They did a good job with Breaking Bad, but is AMC ready to lose its other one? Because Breaking Bad ended with a lot of artistic integrity, but they also probably in, you know, the finance office talked about how much money they lost. And it's like, well, even if we didn't have, like, you know, a great, perfect season 7 and 8, we still would have made X amount of dollars or something. And they might be rolling that dice with Walking Dead. So, but I don't know. This might be the season. This might be the season to wrap it all up or to start, like, going into the end.
Well, they just announced that they're renewed for an 8th season. Mm-hmm. So okay. they're around for at least one, this one and next one.
That's good to know. That's good to know. But yeah, I think Carol's going to come in and save them. I mean, there is going to be revenge. The one thing that is always really gratifying for this show and for its viewers is to see good revenge. So the whole time I'm thinking about this, I'm like, they're really going to have some awesome overkill revenge. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe more people will probably die in the process. But, you know, Rick delivered that line, and maybe not today or not tomorrow, but I will kill you. Like, it's going to be intense. That shit is going to go down.
It is. I definitely feel. I'm trying to think, like, how though. I mean, it's.
I could think one of the things that I. Well, you know, there might be a faction that they could turn around people against Negan if he's that statistic. That's a possibility. Carol might, you know, find someone that's really good. Maybe they just go in, get in and get out and just have some good old-fashioned revenge, and they're able to, like, you know, like ninjas or SEAL Team 6, just go in and leave. That's a possibility, too, and they just go on their way to their next thing as far as possible or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Or, you know, good old-fashioned suicide mission, but sometimes after, like, Negan's killed, maybe everyone starts clapping, and then it's all like, you are Negan now. And like, Negan wasn't really his name. It's like some acronym for something.
We thought, a lot of people thought that before Jeffrey Dean Morgan stepped out of the RV. Everyone thought Negan was a collective, not an actual individual name.
I was thinking too. That's why I was a little disappointed when it was just one person. But what if that is still an acronym for something, and then it's all like, you are the new Negan, yay, and it gets all creepy and chanty.
Yeah, in other shows I definitely see that happening. Kirkman and the way this show works, it's hard to see him operating that way, but other, like, that's definitely one path that I've seen, like, in other, like, in the movie Chronicles of Riddick.
That was the first thing I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they wouldn't do that, because it's been done before. So
do you think, I mean, we already know some new characters are coming. We already know that. Do you think that maybe they are figuring that if they're going to kill off a couple primary characters, they need to add new ones? And maybe that's the way they're going to diversify the cast in. Like, we can't, if we kill them all off until there's 2 or 3 left, you know, there's a lot less to watch. You know, all these side stories, these character arcs they do with all the characters. Like, in order to replace those 2 character arcs, they're going to have to add some more.
Yep. we got two seasons and we end up like liking people, it doesn't take us that long. If they have a lot of screen time and they start to bond with someone, we'll start liking them. I don't know. One of the things I was going to complain about a little bit, even though I said a lot of positive stuff, is I was a little... I know they were trying to have a lot of suspense and stuff, but the editing choice of like them showing everyone get hit or beat up or something, like everyone died or whatever, and I don't know, maybe it was obvious that's not what they were doing, but the, you know, like they were just playing a lot of like, wait, did he kill everyone? Well, not everyone, obviously. Like, Carl's probably still alive, or maybe one other, but did they all, like, who all went? Like, I don't know. It's got to be like some epic, like, who did it? Like, suspense they were trying to build there. I already built it for the whole, you know, season finale and everything for months and months and months. And then, like, you still had to wait throughout the episode. But then at the end of the episode, you're like, all right, cool. So that's all who died.
Yeah.
And that was pretty interesting. Part of me was kind of frustrated with it. Like, they were dragging it out too much and I want to see the plot go along. And then the other part of me is like, yeah, but like, they're pretty good masters of suspense like that. Like, you're like, okay, so it was two. It was just the two.
I think you're right. That's what I thought for the first half of this episode, that, or all the way to the point where we finally find out that it's Abe. They were dragging it out for another 15 minutes into this episode, and I was like, you dragged it out for almost 15 minutes at the end of the last one. Like, how much mileage do you really think you're going to get out of this? And then finally they show it's Abe, and I was like, finally, all right, what next? How is Rick going to be is this going to break Rick, or does he have to do something else? And sure enough, he has to do something else, and it got really twisted, and it's a full hour of it, really, maybe 50 minutes, and then the last 10 minutes is them deciding what they're going to do when they break up. But I guess my thought on all of this is that I think it's okay as long as you don't, if they go into this again, like having Negan go into another badass speech, with all that posturing, like in the next episode, or I think they've like played that so much. Like, I don't want to see that again. Like, I'm tired of his long speeches and his terrible jokes and his posturing. I'm like, if you can spread that out a little bit and we don't have to see that in every fucking episode, I think it's okay and it won't bother me that much. And it's the same thing with the misery of watching two people brutally murdered. Like, it, but at the same time, I also don't want to watch just three or four episodes of them grieving and having memories, because that's just, you know, it's three or four more hours of misery. So I'm hoping that they pivot to practical matters. All right, what are we really going to do? And it looks like in the trailer at the end of the episode that Rick is going to fully acknowledge Negan's in charge. We are going to do whatever he says, and that's the move we're going to make. We're not going to do any kind of quick turnaround revenge. That's not how we're going to do it. And honestly, that tactically is the right choice, because they have Daryl and they have no way of beating Negan. Honestly, not yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and even within the main part of the group, if they know they're going to plan something, then, you know, definitely do that. But not everyone in Alexandria needs to know. They're just like a new addition to them, and they almost came in and ruled them like a little warlord, you know? So how much better than Negan are they? So they have to tell everyone at Alexandria, who's already on board with that, as long as they don't die. But it's really the inner circle is the one whose ego's bruised. Alexandria, for the most part, doesn't care. They'll just like, you know, all right, cool. Like, we'll give half or to someone else, as long as they don't come in and kill us, right? That's the main thing that we want. So, you know.
I think we're going to see, if I had to guess, and I think you're right, too. The people in Alexandria are immediately going to say, give him what he wants. If you guys can't take him, then obviously no one can. We're not going to do this. That's definitely has to be their play. I think everyone, I know Maggie said, you know, we need to go after them, but I don't really think she's going to stick to that by the next episode. I think all of them are going to come back down to earth and realize we can't go after him because they have Daryl and we don't have any way of beating him. We don't even know where he is. We thought we beat him already. So there's going to be that. And also, I think what we might see and what we might break this up, and I think this might be the way they are going to go after the first two episodes or three episodes, is we're going to see the Carol and Morgan story play out. And we're going to see this, whatever this guy is with the tiger and all these other new characters that are in the periphery that might come into play if a battle goes down with Negan. I mean, I think they might do that for a while, because that doesn't involve another brutal murder. It involves more of Carol's, you know, convalescence after being shot twice. and maybe some sort of detente between Morgan and Carol with their two conflicting ideologies. I don't know. That I kind of see that as another way this could go to kind of deflect and kind of give all of us like a break after that first episode.
Yeah, I would definitely be okay with the next episode just being a Carol episode, a Carol and Morgan one, and there being no plot development with this story for a while. I could totally use a whole 2 week break to stop thinking about it.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think maybe they might have to show what happens immediately afterwards, but I think that's it. I think you want to switch over to Carol and Morgan and pull that back and have them, you know, the mid-season finale being Alexandra being introduced to this other faction. I mean, that's when Carol and Morgan get home. I mean, I feel like that's one way to go because, I mean, I think you and me have a higher tolerance for this. I think in general, Walking Dead fans have a very high tolerance for this kind of, you know, trauma. But I really do think that if they press this any farther, they are at risk of losing like some fans on the periphery that just can't take it. This is too much. I mean, they can't watch this show on Sunday and be depressed all week or be depressed all night or whatever. And this show did get close. I mean, there was one episode, I'll say this real quick and then I'll shut up. But there was the episode where Carl's mother is killed. That one freaked me out, and I had to actually go for a walk and get out of the apartment for a while. This one got really close to that. Like, I was walking around the gym. I watched it in the gym, and I was, like, walking around and just, like, expending energy. So I literally did do that. I went for a walk while I was watching the last bits of the episode. And I really feel like, I mean, you can do that from time to time, but I feel like if you do that too close to one another, you're just going to get your fans to check out. And I think they got very close to the line here. I mean, do you feel they got really close to the line, or do you feel like maybe this is an overreaction because it just happened? I don't know.
I think they did a great job of making us feel that way. They're pushing us to the limits. This is great TV. And as long as they don't keep on doing other stuff to do it, they're going to do just the right amount of it to affect us this much without losing us. So as long as they don't like keep going down this path too hard or whatever, like they're doing just the right amount of it. Because you're right. You said like you almost wanted to. You know, me and my girlfriend are looking at each other like, are we even going to keep watching this show?
Yeah.
Like, obviously the answer is yes. But the fact that we're asking ourselves like that question or whatever, like this is amazing TV. They've gotten to us. And that they still have so many characters left, and they got to us just by taking these two out. And we're like, we're too depressed to stop watching the show. There's still a lot of other characters that we care about. We're not going to stop watching the fucking show.
No. Let's be serious. I am not. No, I'm not there.
They got us hooked in by so many characters. Like, this is great television on a whole other level.
The first 4 to 5 seasons of this show are just solid gold. I mean, it's the best show on television. I still hold to that because there is no other show that can do this to me. As frustrated as the season, I was frustrated at the season finale last season, and this one really pushed me to the brink. But you know what? That was what they wanted to do with this episode. The way I'm feeling, the way you and I are feeling right now is exactly what they wanted. So my question is, I mean, and we've already kind of thrown out a few ideas. I guess what really matters is, okay, you've done it. You've really like stuck the knife in and twisted it. Now the question is, what are you going to do now with us? Like, and I feel, and in my head, I'm just thinking as soon as Carol finds out what happened to Glenn, like her whole like problem with killing people is going to go away. I can just already imagine the look on her face. Like, that fucker's going to die.
And she's going to be all like awesome and tortured about it. Cause you know, on the inside, she's dying that she has to kill more for someone else. And shoot it.
I think that I think actually her psychological shift is going to happen. Well, no, because Morgan's not going to convince her to kill again. That's not it. But she agrees to come back, but she won't. But her feeling is probably to be like Morgan, is that I can't do it anymore. But then I think it's one thing to find out Glenn is dead and Abe is dead. When she finds out Daryl is captured, I think that might push her over the edge because she loves Daryl. Like, she adores him. I mean, that is the one person like that could easily get her to kill again. And if he's alive and captured, I mean, I don't really think anyone's going to stop her from going to get him. The other possibility I felt like over the kind of between seasons is if they do try to fight Negan in a guerrilla style, which is a possibility, the only way to do that is if they have to evacuate Alexandria and flee and then go into the woods and basically start picking off Negan's men. I don't know if they really, I mean, Negan's men seem pretty clever. I don't really think that works. And I don't think that makes for good television. I guess I'm not sure if that works.
When you start talking about tactics and everything, one of our complaints from the last season finale was the lack of tactics, where they did have other episodes where they showed like superior tactical abilities and everything. But then all of a sudden they'll throw that out the window in other shows just for the sake of the writers. If there's like not someone in the room being like, wait, this doesn't make sense. So hopefully, I mean, we might be overthinking it and they're actually going to do something that's going to piss us off in another podcast.
Well, we kind of like the, I think what they do is, I think the reason that really like some episodes are just amazing is that they don't just give us combat in every episode. I mean, gunfire and zombie. I mean, they give it to us like every third or fourth episode or fifth episode, and they give us some character development, some plot development. They show us a little bit more of this world of theirs. I mean, they spread it out. They don't just give us gunfight after gunfight after gunfight. I'm trying to think, like, because, I mean, this basically two or three big things happen. We've already talked about it, and we've already talked a little bit about some of our theories on where this could go. I guess for the broader story, you know, we talked about it. I mean, this is season 7, I think. It's a show that's 7 seasons in, and normally right around this time is when shows start to lose their momentum. And I guess I asked this before, and this is how I feel, but do you feel like maybe they should think about maybe tying this up at 8, 9, or 10?
I think they definitely should. I don't know if they will. Like I expressed before, they did a really good job with Breaking Bad, but I'm pretty sure someone in their finance or in accounting or something was like, no, we should have had a couple more seasons. There was a lot more. You know, juice in that fruit. I don't think that's the same. People don't say that, do they?
You know what? Maybe Hollywood people do. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, So I think they should wrap it up in a couple seasons, but they might not.
I agree. I don't really think they will because they have so much source material. Like, the Walking Dead graphic novels are really, really long. I'm not even sure they've covered half of what those novels. And they've also deviated from the series quite a bit. And so they're not afraid to do that. They have a lot of source material. And they've said, like, they have a lot of ideas and they can keep going. But if you're going to use the reason I think that doesn't quite work is that you're probably dealing with the same set of characters. And how much can we watch them getting brutalized? We have been watching it for 6 seasons. We're getting into season 7. This one definitely traumatized us. But like I said, if we go through season 7 with a lot of grieving and you know, post-traumatic stress disorder and just more of that, like I think that's going to slowly wear off. And I think the only way to get around that is to add new characters and to start mixing the cast with some of these newer characters. I think they've already begun to do that with Tara and, well, they just killed off Abe, but also the Alexandria people. But then again, they killed off like 80% of the Alexandria characters. So, or maybe more of them. I think there's only one or two left that technically are Alexandrian. So I think that's the way they have to do it. If they do that, I think they could probably go till season 10, 11, 12, like some shows. But honestly, most shows, from what I've heard, after about season 7 or 8, it starts to go, you know, it just starts to go south. Even the best ones go south at that point. I mean, and I think this one, for me personally, I think I can definitely see that happening if they continue to hit the same beat on the drum. You know, they keep claiming they can keep doing this. So, and it also, a shitload of people still watch. I guess that's the important thing, the money part. They still have like tons, their viewership is still huge. So until that changes too.
I don't know how much this affects viewership numbers or where it is, but I just know from talking to people about this show that there's a lot of people that didn't watch it for a while. I mean, this person I know right now, a good friend of mine, Jeremy, I talked to him about the show. I told him it was good. He's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll watch it. I talked to him maybe 72 hours later, and he was completely caught up.
He didn't sleep.
So, So I was all like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's like, that's a lot of, that's a, man, that's a lot of TV. And he's like, yeah, yeah. So is that Fear the Walking Dead any good? Because I'm out of Walking Dead episodes.
I caught up with Walking Dead within a week because I spread about two or three episodes per night out because I guess if I had the money, because I was paying for streaming too. But I definitely, yeah, was watching two or three episodes a night, and I completely caught up from where I was to where the show was. I could definitely see that happening. The other thing I think why this show is just so fucking good is that there is nothing else on TV in this space. And I'm not just talking about zombies. I'm just talking about this level of intensity, of drama. Fear the Walking Dead is a spinoff, so I don't really count it, but... I mean, I think the fact that Walking Dead is the only show that really is in this space.
It's a real R-rated horror movie, on like that keeps on going like a huge saga, but then also like the most intense like drama and horror movie of all time. Like it's like a thriller suspense. I mean, yeah, there's no piece of television like it.
The only thing that might come close in the type of drama it is Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones is fantasy, it's sword and shield, medieval, it's dragons, and they do kill off very important characters, but you do not get the horror, the gore. You do get it sometimes, but you don't get it to the capacity, you know, the raw amount that Walking Dead shows you. And
the fact that you always, like, you know, whenever you're watching it with someone, you always like kind of turn to them, it's all like, yeah, so that would really fucking suck. Like they wake up to that every day.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing about it. The world has ended. It's like the worst possible situation. No matter what happens in each episode, they're still in the zombie apocalypse, and that doesn't change.
I know, and they're still alive. I mean, like, they've gotten that long. Like, they've been at it for a couple years now, from what I can guess, based on Judith's age. And it's just like, man, they just keep getting up, and there's just new shit every day. Like, it's not the same old shit every day, really. If you're watching that show, that's not the same shit every day. They're dealing with a whole new, like, Negan. I mean, this is just a whole new fucking shitstorm. I mean, it's, yeah,
now the world's a lot bigger than us. It's not shit, and our problems just got a lot bigger.
Yep.
I mean, this is really, really great, amazing TV. And, you know, the whole zombie genre is just going to be talking about this forever. And I know the graphic novel series, probably within huge zombies fans, they all know that it's really awesome. Oh, I did want to comment on what you said before, is that they probably haven't even got through half of the material that the graphic novel has. And I think that's promising. So if they do keep on, you know, dragging the show on into 10 seasons or 12 seasons or something like that, they got the material for it in one way or another, even if they're repurposing it and changing it, because they have been doing that in the past. You know, I keep on forgetting that aspect of it. And in that aspect, maybe they got another 4 or 5 years in it. Now, it might change for a lot of fans because it's a different show and they don't have the original cast, or it goes in a different direction. But I mean, you know, the saga can continue. It doesn't have to be wrapped up in a nice, neat little package. I mean, from our previous podcast, when we talked about The Walking Dead, you definitely know I'd like to see, like, so many different other levels of this, you know, like the world get a lot bigger, to find out what was really happening at the end, if it affected the whole world, if they're the only people in their area, or if, like, it is bigger. All these other, like, huge questions, which the show might never answer. But it gives me a little bit of hope, actually, when you say that they have that much material and maybe they can go in that direction.
Yeah, I'm not, don't quote me on the, you know, how much they've used up or how much is left. I don't know the exact number, but I do know for a fact that there is a lot of material that they have not used for the show. And so there could be several more seasons. And Oh, and by the way, I mean, their writers have been coming up with their own stuff here and there too, so they don't exactly have to. It's not like Game of Thrones where they have to follow the source material closely. Even Game of Thrones is going to have to deviate because they've run out of source material. So I mean, it's a different problem. But yeah, I guess they could. I mean, I'm not saying they should stop like after this season or next season, but I do think that they have to have a plan for how they're going to wind this down. I don't want to see what has happened to other shows happen to this one. And let me think what else.
Well, you know what? As far as that goes, I actually have really good hopes for it because of this season premiere. Because I had a lot of doubts at the end of the last season. I was like, well, they're going to make this warlord just like all the others, and they're only going to kill one person. They should kill way more than that. And in this episode, they really squashed a lot of that doubt that I had and how they were going to keep going forward. And so that kind of gives me confidence and tells me that they're going to continue to impress us.
I agree. I hope that's what this I think that's exact. There's one way this could go where I think that's exactly how this will go. That they wanted to do this for this first episode, and they know exactly what to do afterwards. They're like, okay, we are going to break everyone's hearts and make them cry for one episode just to set them up for the rest of what we have for them. And I believe they're capable of it. They are. I mean, the writers for the show are literally that good. I believe that is possible, and I'm hoping for it. I'm definitely going to continue to watch. It is the best show on television. I don't. I think Game of Thrones just doesn't. I mean, Game of Thrones is repetitive at times and has a lot of dull episodes, and it doesn't have zombies. I mean, it doesn't have real zombies. I mean, I don't really the White Walkers, whatever. But I mean, I guess
Hey,
is
hold on.
there.
Let's be real. Dancing with the Stars is the best show on
The Voice.
TV.
Yes, anything with Miley Cyrus is really it's all I need. But all right, is there anything else you're watching right now besides Walking Dead?
Yes, I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is infinitely hilarious. Probably like one of the funniest shows TV on TV.
Cool.
In that same category, I'm watching Modern Family, critically acclaimed. Everyone knows Modern Family's amazing. Just yeah, watching a lot of that. There's a lot of good comedy on TV nowadays. It's really, really cool. This new one, Superstore, is another new comedy, and they're like obviously at a Walmart, but it's called Cloud Nine. But they have blue vests and everything. It's really, really funny, really well done. They have an awesome balance of characters. Even though some of them aren't great all the time, they just still have a really great one. Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall and Saturday Night Live plays the store manager. He's hilarious in it. And also they have like in between like scenes, they'll just cut to someone in the superstore, like in the Walmart type place, just doing something really weird and random. And it has nothing to do with the plot, but they just throw them in. And I just love that it's a awesome reoccurring joke because everyone knows from the internet that Walmart has all those random moments and those crazy people that come in all the time. So there's always just these really funny little dry like segues of just like real customers moments in Walmart, and it has nothing to do with the plot.
Now, what about the one with it's a parody of a police procedural on like something Tribeca or something. You're
NC Tribeca
talking.
is awesome. It's like our generation's Police Squad or Naked Gun, if you will. And it's done by Steve Carell and Nancy Carell, his wife. And it's just, they call it spooftacular. It's just really great, awesome spoof humor. Really dumb, really clever, like, and then dumb again. And then it gets so dumb, it's like the cleverest thing you've ever seen in your whole life. Like, it really tests you. You have to be in the mood to watch it sometimes. I binged watched it and I just felt like I didn't know what was real anymore.
You know, the best spoof, I mean, spoof movies have been very, very mediocre for a while now, but spoofs on TV have been Brooklyn Nine-Nine, in my opinion, is kind of a spoof, kind of not, but this Tribeca one, I guess I guess
The
Brooklyn Nine-Nine
Tribeca
doesn't try to
one.
be serious though, I guess,
Well,
right?
yeah, I mean, it does in a certain way, though, and it's consistent. This one is where like it completely parts with reality. you know, like just like Naked Gun did. It didn't even matter. It could get really dumb. Like there's one where it zooms in and the camera hits her face or something. Like the canine is an actual cop and it's a reoccurring like a dog character.
I saw that. They talk to him like he's a cop.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. They have so many really good subtle jokes about that. Like, and yeah, they just they do a great job with that one. And does this, and they have lots of great cameos. People love coming on the show too.
It really, yeah, if it's done right. I mean, that was, I think that was the problem when the scary movies started really losing. They just, after the first one, they really lost a lot.
And it has a really good, that's why I keep on talking about the old ones. It has like an airplane feel, like it's that clever.
Oh yeah.
And like it has a very good like old Mel Brooks feel to a lot of it. And, you know, Steve Carell, who's just a comedic genius, and his wife, who has a huge history in comedy too, like they really did the genre a lot of justice, and it'll probably be referenced a lot.
We really are in the golden age of television in terms of comedy and dramas and all. I mean, this is some of the best. I don't know if anyone can really credibly say that anything from the previous decades can match in terms of quantity and quality. I mean, obviously not quantity, but I mean, just the quality of some of these shows and what they've done, how historic, how powerful they are. I mean, we really are just,
I mean, there's some
it's
really
great.
It's great shows, but you always have to keep in mind they were great for that era. You could take some of the greatest shows of the past and stack them up to the best of what's on TV today, and I don't know if they'd always stack up.
I don't think so either.
Even rewatching like Seinfeld, one of the greats. Seinfeld's amazing, but we always, you know, like me and my girlfriend would look at each other and be like, 90s comedy. Still hilarious, still love it. And it's really, you see how those jokes are some of the first of its kind, you know, in some ways that are like being reused and everything. But like this generation of drama, TV drama and TV comedy is a lot of people that took notes from them and they just went up to it. And it's kind of cool that, you know, in art, the direction just keeps on going up. Like, is it only going to get better?
I just watched Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. I rewatched it like a couple weeks ago and I can see in it like the beginnings of South Park. Like nobody, I mean, I know it's hard for people to like understand that, but if you look at the jokes and the parody and the satire that Monty Python did, and they also combined it with like fart and sex jokes, which is exactly what South Park does. Uh-huh. I watch that and I'm like, wow, this, I'm watching what literally is the beginning. This is where South Park began in the 70s in Great Britain. It just took 20 years for Trey, you know, Trey Parker and Matt Stone to create something that was American and cartoon. And, but it does that, what it does for people, why it's so funny is it's just like, it's the grandfather of South Park. And I just see it because there's so many like dick jokes and like fart jokes. And I'm just like laughing like, ha, this is exactly what, this is what they were doing for England back then is what South Park does for us now. it was brilliant. And I think you're right though. It's not really fair to compare because they were limited by censors a lot more than shows are now.
Absolutely. And oh, speaking of that, I just want to give a shout out to Bob's Burgers as being an amazing show because they do a really good job of not having rated R humor without rated R like content on paper. You know?
Yeah.
That is a really delicate line to cross, to have really, really dark jokes or really like offensive jokes or sexual jokes or whatever without saying anything bad, you know, because we've seen all the comedy that is in your face and as raunchy as possible, and then you get numb to it. And then going back to a more, you know, well-crafted era of comedy where you got to say it without saying it, I think is an art form in itself too. And they don't have to, because everything else has been done before. It's not, and even though they are on regular broadcasts, like South or Family Guy's paved the way for them to be as offensive as they want to be pretty much on TV. But they still walk this really awesome, delicate line.
I think they should get shows should get a lot of credit for that, for not relying too much on F-bombs and just some of the graphic stuff. Like whenever, like, it seems like Archer, a couple times Archer does that where they just have a ton of swearing, especially Lana. Lana will just drop a bunch of F-bombs and just swear back and forth and yell. And I'm just like, you know, you guys are so damn funny. You don't really have to do that to keep, you know, stepping it up a notch. I mean, try fitting the jokes in without having to just keep swearing or, you know, showing Lana in lingerie or whatever. Like, it seems like that when they're up against the wall, they just go as graphic and offensive as they can be. I mean, not just Archer. I mean, a lot of shows like kind of do that. I'm like, that's not really as, I can't give them a lot of credit because honestly, Family Guy and South Park and these other, they've already done that. So you're not really pushing any boundaries by continuing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool when they do, and I like pushing the boundaries and the limits, but their goal shouldn't be to constantly outdo themselves because it's already been done. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I feel like, had a moment. I don't know what season it was exactly, but it seemed like they didn't have any other place to go. And then they proved us wrong in the following season. Maybe they changed some writers, or they figured out, it's like, no, we could take these characters farther. We might not be able to outdo, like, the absurdness of, like, what they've done, but we could outdo the absurdness of who they are. And once they started to go down that direction, you could just keep on going with material and material, you know? And I think maybe when they were writing on a situational basis, it's like, oh, yeah, well, then what else? How much farther can you go? You guys have already done it, everything. And it's like they laid a really good base for how crazy the characters are, and they just started to go down that rabbit hole. I think it was about,
and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they had a great run. There's nothing wrong with running out of material. I mean, yeah, especially if you've gone 5 seasons. That's amazing.
And I thought they did, and they didn't. And I think it was really awesome to see it turn around. I was like, great. So one of my favorite shows on TV didn't burn out. They're getting better. Wow.
I heard Rick and Morty season 3 is coming beginning of 2017.
I thought it was supposed to be the end of this year. They're fucking with us.
I heard January 2017. I didn't hear an exact date, but they said it's ready.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. That's good with me. We'll be recording ones after.
Oh, yeah. You talk about a show that, like, in 20 minutes can cover so much ground and just be so... It's not like South Park where it's trying to be... it's taking like the issues of the day or the current events, or it's not trying to do kind of parody. Rick and Morty is like it does something completely different, and it's so good.
Issues of like life in the universe. This is like,
yeah, stuff,
like from like just a regular person that is just like, you know, smoking some weed and watching a cartoon and being like, wow, that's crazy, to like a physicist watching it and being like, wow. That's
Oh yeah, nice. when he builds, just one quick example. When he builds that robot just to get him the butter on the table, and the robot asks him, "What is my purpose? To give me the butter? That's it? Yeah, that's it. Oh God, yeah, join the club, buddy." I mean, he has like that interchange with the robot. Like,
yeah, that's
basically one of Isaac Asimov's great stories in a 20-second exchange or 15-second exchange.
it's really amazing like that. And that's why that one will... That's another thing that will be in a class all its own, and it's hard to compare. You know, like, what's the funniest show on TV? And then there's Rick and Morty.
There's something
that I might laugh out loud more. There might be something that's a little bit funnier. But like Rick and Morty just kind of made its own complete class. Like,
I just love that they're just. We're gonna burn up a lot of time just talking about Rick and Morty. We should wait for the premiere.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Any more comments on Walking Dead television in general? Anything else you wanted to add real quick that I made you forget or talked over you?
No. Other than that, I can't wait to have another one of these right after the next episode.
Do you want to do them after every episode, or maybe after ones?
I don't know. Let's see if we can. If we can't keep up that consistency, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's see if we can. We could get that regularity, and we could see if we could apply that to the audience.
We're gonna have our own Talking Dead with blackjack and hookers. Alrighty. That'll do it for episode 40. John, thanks for joining me. This was fun. The show was definitely incredibly depressing, but I think you and I are both just geared up for where we think they're going to go, and this could be the beginning of something special. But thanks for joining me. We'll wrap it up there. And for all of you listening, thanks for listening in. And until next time.